When Herod the king heard this, gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophets." "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I may come and worship him too." After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. This morning, looking at this passage, I've entitled it, "Everybody Knows." And I think it's important to know that everybody knows about Christmas. I think deep down, just like the Christmas song says, everybody knows that everyone realizes what the true meaning of Christmas is about. I think that's why people try to take Christ out of Christmas so often. I try to make it a point to say Merry Christmas whenever someone says to me Happy Holidays. So we see people are constantly trying to remove Christ or to push Christ out of the true meaning of Christmas. I think the reason for this is because people are so satisfied with their fake idols that they're worshiping. They're so satisfied with their money, and especially at this time of year. They're so satisfied they don't even want to consider Jesus' birth. They don't want to have to hear anything about Jesus or Christ or the implications that the reality of Christ would bring to their life.
不想要知道这个基督耶稣的诞生，也不想要知道耶稣诞生的意义在他们生活当中。
I think most people understand the implications of taking an honest look at the facts presented in the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth.
我想真的每个人都知道这个基督诞生在我们的生命当中的意义。
So many things come together in the birth of Christ that prove him to be the long-awaited Messiah. So many things come together that it's mind-boggling.
我们可以在这个圣经当中发现到很多都指向于基督诞生，耶稣就是我们所期待已久的弥赛亚。
These prophecies are so numerous, and they're fulfilled in Christ's birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. These prophecies are from a multitude of books and authors in the Bible.
这些先知的预言呢，都遍布于圣经的各个经节当中。那他就是提到了耶稣的弥赛亚的诞生，他的生活，还有他的死，还有他的复活。
The result of looking at these things objectively and openly, and not just pushing them aside, would mean only one thing.
有这些经节在我们的那个证明呢，那只有一件事情我们否认，就是因为我们经历当中，我们自己否认它。
A complete life change.
那我们真的是能够承认这个是完全的生命的改变。
You look at the apostles when they were sharing Christ. There's two main things, two main evidences that the apostles appeal to over and over again.
在以使徒他徒们，出席徒们，他们在众人面前当中的见证，一再的见证，有两件事。
They were witnessing to people about the deity and the messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ constantly, and the two things they used, the two things they looked at to prove and to show who Christ was first, the fact of his resurrection.
这些门徒在要证明耶稣的神性，还有他的弥赛亚的性格，第一个就是他的父耶稣。
And secondly,The Old Testament prophecies which were fulfilled by Christ. Even the apostles knew that an honest look at these facts in Scripture would be very powerful and life-changing. When presented with these facts, when you take an honest look at these facts, you can't get around them. The only thing that keeps you from a true saving faith is a hardened heart, just like Pharaoh.
就像就是我们来读这些经节，我们也能够知道这个非常有力的证据。我们否认他，只有一个原因，就是我们心里刚硬，就像法老嘛。
And as a starting point, we're looking at this passage in Matthew 2. We're going to see several points, several different things here. And we're going to stop at verse 8.
我们开始我们来看马太福音二章。
We're going to see that the Magi knew, that the priests and the scribes knew, and that Herod knew.
我们要来看，就是有三种人知道，就是博士、祭司长跟文士，还有希律王。
They knew there was something more about Christ.
他们知道的很多关于基督。
Everyone knows, deep down, everyone knows. We're going to look at the Magi, and if you'll turn with me to Matthew, or you should have it there, Matthew 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 2.
我们来看第一节到第二
Let me get this up here. Let's read together. You look along with me. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" First, we have to look at who were the Magi. What's so important about the Magi? Magi simply means wise man. Typically, we think of three wise men, three Magi that came that morning of Jesus' birth. But however, the Bible never says this. We find this in tradition. You know, Scripture mentions three gifts that were given to baby Jesus, and I think partly because of that, we assume that maybe there were three Magi. There could have been more. There could have been just maybe two. There's also tradition that gives them the names Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. More than likely, this was a huge party, a huge caravan of people. These Magi would have been very important people and would have had, you know, their camels and the people that took care of their camels and the people that dressed them and the people that set up their tents. So we're not specifically sure as to how many Magi came that night. Another common misconception is that the wise men visited Jesus at the stable on the very night of his birth. But really, we're not sure when exactly they came. It could have been weeks, days, weeks, months, possibly years later. What we do know about the Magi is that, yes, they were wise men, but they were from the east. And they're most likely from Persia or modern-day Iran. This means that the wise men would have traveled 800 to 900 miles. The simple fact that they traveled that far, 800 to 900 miles. That doesn't seem far for us, but they didn't have modern transportation back then. This shows us that they knew. They simply knew there was something special about Jesus. But how did they know? The star. Verse 2 says, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." How did they know about the star? The Greek word star is aster. And this is the normal word used for star or celestial body. It's used 24 times in the New Testament, and most of the time it refers to a celestial body, or what we think of as a star. It can also be used to talk about angels, as in Revelations 12:4, and where it's used to describe the fallen angels who followed Satan's rebellion. But stars, celestial bodies, normally move in the same direction from east to west because of the Earth's rotation. But if you follow the way the star led them to Jerusalem, then down to Bethlehem, the star wasn't following a normal course that a star would follow. Then it stopped directly over the place where baby Jesus was. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a typical star to me. One that moves, changes direction, and then takes a rest. Most likely what we have here in Matthew 2, 1 through 12, talking about the star, is a manifestation of the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory literally means the dwelling of God. The visible presence of the Lord. We see this in Exodus when the cloud, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire went before the Israelites. But whatever it is, it shouldn't surprise us that God would use a miraculous sign to signal the advent, the coming of His Son, the Messiah, into the world. So what's another reason they knew about the star? They knew from Daniel and Balaam. First they knew about the star. They also knew about the star from Daniel and Balaam, but they know about Jesus Christ from Daniel and Balaam too. As we noted earlier, the wise men were from Persia and most likely knew of the writings of the prophet Daniel. And who was Daniel? In the past, Daniel, many years before, had been the chief of the court seers, the court wise men in Persia. Daniel 9:24-27 records a prophecy which gives an actual timeline for the birth of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus.
Daniel 9:24-27
So the wise men would have known when to be looking for this star. But still, we haven't quite seen where from Scripture the wise men would have known about the star. Yes, they have the prophecy from Daniel when Jesus was going to be born. So we need to look at Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, and they would have been aware of Balaam from history. He was a prophet from Pethor, which was a town on the Euphrates River, very near to Persia. And Balaam prophesied about the star, and we see that prophecy in Scripture in Numbers 24:27. This verse says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Seth. So the wise men didn't just simply see a star and say, hey, look, there's an interesting star, let's follow it. They knew about Jesus. They'd heard Daniel, they'd heard Balaam. They knew when Jesus was to come, and they knew there would be a star to show them the way. And they knew because of Scripture, the Word of God. Next we see that the priests and the scribes knew. Read with me in verse 3, continuing on. It says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. We'll do away with that for now. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people. We see that Herod, when he heard there was a possibility of a king, a new king, a new possible uprising, this king of the Jews, he went to the leader of the Jews to find out if they knew. But how did they know? They knew from Scripture. Specifically from Micah 5:2. This is the verse they quote here in verse 6. This verse taken from the Old Testament many years earlier. It says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So the priests and the scribes knew, and even Herod knew. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared." And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." Yes, even Herod knew. It may not have been a true saving faith, but he knew there was something more to Jesus. First of all, he knew because of the wise men. And then he went to the priests and the scribes. And he believed Scripture enough to be worried. He knew there was something extraordinary about Christ for having all these people making such a uproar about him. And that's evidenced by his reaction from his hardened heart that we see his reaction in verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17 read, "Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi." If Herod had not believed Scripture, if he had not believed the Magi, if he had not believed the priests and scribes, he wouldn't have gone to the lengths to kill the 2-year-old. And in so doing, showing his evidence of belief, he fulfills another prophecy about Christ. This prophecy was written in Jeremiah 31:15 and recorded in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 17. It says, "Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." Today, those people who love the world or their religion or their idol so much that they have to push Christ out of the way are just like the priests and the scribes and even Herod. They know something's going on that's special. They know there's something there about this Christ, this child. But their hardened heart keeps them from truly looking at Christ and having a true saving faith. Because for them, there's just too much at stake. There's just too much to lose. For Herod, it was his leadership. For the Jews, ultimately, it was their system of pious self-works religion that brought pride to themselves. So in ending, I want to go over some prophecies that were fulfilled by Christ. These are prophecies written about Jesus, about his birth, and then we'll have some more that are about his life and his death and his resurrection. These are written in the Old Testament, years and years before Christ comes. And I say we look at this in our closing and ending, but I'm really only halfway through my notes. So first off, I want to look at prophecies concerning Christ's birth. The Old Testament said he was born of the seed of woman. Prophesied in Genesis 3:15 and fulfilled and recorded in Galatians 4:4. Next it says he's born of a virgin. Maybe having some technical difficulties here. Anyways, after the service, if you would like, I have a list of all these prophecies, if you'd pick them up in the back. But next it says he was born of a virgin, prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, and recorded, fulfilled in Matthew 1:18.
In
It was prophesied in Psalm 2:7 that he would be Son of God. And fulfilled in Matthew 3:17. Prophesied in Genesis that he'd be the seed of Abraham. Fulfilled in Matthew 1:1. It's prophesied he'd be son of Isaac. He'd be son of Jacob. From the tribe of Judah. The family line of Jesse. Out of the house of David. Born at Bethlehem. And then as we saw, it's prophesied that Herod would kill the children. Those are just a few of the prophecies concerning his birth. Then the Old Testament has prophecies concerning his nature. His pre-existence. The fact that he shall be called Lord. The fact that he will be called Emmanuel, God with us, and that he shall be a prophet. The prophecy that he shall be a priest and he shall be a judge. Prophecy that he shall be a king, and a prophecy that he will have a special anointment by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, a prophecy about his zeal for God. Concerning his ministry, there's prophecies that show he'll be preceded by a messenger. That his ministry will begin in Galilee. That he'll have a ministry of miracles and he'll be a teacher of parables. There were prophecies about him entering the temple. There was a prophecy that he was to enter Jerusalem on a donkey. That he would be a stone of stumbling to the Jewish nation. And that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Concerning events after his burial. His resurrection and his ascension and his seating at the right hand of God are all prophesied in the Old Testament. Now here are a few prophecies that are fulfilled by Christ in one day. One day.
Okay.
all of these prophecies written by many different voices from God. God's the main author, but he inspired the writers of Scripture to put these prophecies down 5 centuries from 1000 to 500 B.C.
然后它在一元前 500到 1000年前就
God took this huge period of time to foretell the coming of the Savior.
神就在用这么长的时间来告诉我们他的这个弥赛亚要来
And Christ literally fulfilled that huge amount of time of prophecy in one day.
然后呢我们的基督就在一天之内能够证明了这么长时间里面所写的这些语
It says he was betrayed by a friend.
他被朋友出卖
In Psalm 41:9 That he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver.
他因为用三十个银钱被卖
That the money used to betray him would be thrown down in God's house.
这些钱被丢在神的家中
That there would be a price given for a potter's field.
然后这些钱就被给这些做瓦器的人
That he'd be forsaken by his disciples.
然后他被他的门徒所遗弃
He'd be accused by a false witnesses.
他被做假见证的控告
He would be mute before his accusers.
然后他在他控告之前前面是默然无声
Wounded and bruised.
他受伤
Smitten and spit upon.
他受鞭打还有被唾弃
He'd be mocked, he'd fall under the cross and his hands and feet would be pierced.
他被嘲笑
He'd be crucified with thieves. He would make intercession for his persecutors. And he'd be rejected by his own people.
他也被他自己的人所遗弃
He'd be hated without a cause. His friends would stand far off and people would shake their heads at him.
他被遗弃然后朋友都离他远去然后人也会对他摇头
He'd be stared upon. His garments would be parted and lots would be cast with him that he would suffer thirst.
他被人瞪然后他的衣服也被撕破然后他口渴
He'd be offered gall and vinegar.
他被献上苦胆跟
It would have a prophecy about his forsaken cry.
还有他被在被父神遗弃的那个痛
How he committed himself to God, laying down his life.
然后他献上给神
It prophesied that his bones would not be broken, that his heart would be broken, and his side would be pierced.
他骨头没有被打断，但是他的心却破碎了，然后他的肋旁却裂开。
And finally, of these prophecies fulfilled all in one day, prophesied that darkness would cover the land and he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. These are all prophecies fulfilled by Christ, and I'm sure there are objections out there. And there were more prophecies about Christ. These are just a few. There's between 400 and 500 prophecies of Christ that every one of them were fulfilled in the, from the Old Testament. Some of the objections are that these prophecies, these fulfilled prophecies, were actually written at or after the time of Jesus. The Old Testament was finished about 450 BC. Long before Christ came. And people still will say, well, maybe we don't know for sure, but we know for certain, they know as a fact, scholars, extra-biblical scholars, people that don't study the Bible, know that the Greek translation of the Old Testament was completed in 250 B.C. So for sure, these prophecies were completed at least 250 years before Christ. Next, another objection is that Jesus deliberately fulfilled these prophecies. This might seem possible until we start looking at these prophecies and see that many of them were outside of his control. For example, the place of his birth, the time of his birth, the manner of his birth, the betrayal, the manner of his death, the people's reactions to him, the piercing of his side, his burial. And the last objection I'd like to look at is that the fulfilling of these prophecies by Jesus was simply coincidental. It's an accident. Peter Stoner in Science Speaks determines the probability of one man fulfilling only 8 of these prophecies. For one man to just coincidentally fulfill 8 of these prophecies from the Old Testament, this probability would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. One in 10 to the 17th power. Let's try to imagine what this means. If we took 1 in 10 to the 17th power, and I gave you that many silver dollars,
我们给你了圣经内的七次方这么多银币。
I know it's hard to imagine that many silver dollars. 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Okay, here's 1 in 10 to the 17th power. It'd be, that's the number. 1 in, I don't even know how to say that number. Okay? Roughly, go ahead. Roughly, if you took and poured those silver dollars out, it would cover the state of Texas in silver dollars 2 feet deep. And oh, by the way, I marked one of those silver dollars with an X. And I tell you to go mark out throughout Texas, and you get one chance to pick a silver dollar. You can go anywhere in Texas. You know, the whole thing's covered 2 feet deep with silver dollars. The chance of you picking up that one silver dollar I marked with an X. The same probability of someone accidentally fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies from the Old Testament. Peter Stoner then goes on to consider the possibility of any one person fulfilling 48 of the prophecies by chance. One in 10 to the 157th power. And I have no idea how many silver dollars that is. But the number would look like this. And there are over 400 prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled in his life. When you consider the truths about Christ, honestly, it will change your life. And to wrap it up, I want to read 4 different verses. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other God. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. And then Isaiah 48. Three and five says, I declare the former things long ago, and they went out forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them. Suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. Therefore I declared them to you long ago, before they took place. I proclaimed them to you, lest you say, my idol has done them, and my graven image, my molten image, they have commanded them.
3节跟5节，先说，主说早先的事，我从古时起。 说明已经出了火口，也是我所指示的。我忽然疑惑，事件成就，所以我从古时将这事给你说明，在未曾以先只是免得你说这些事是我的偶像，是我雕刻的偶像和塑造的偶像。
First we read shows us God declares who he is. In the second passage, this one he teaches for you, not only did he declare it, he proved it, and he wrote it down. He gave us proofs through the prophecies, things that he says come from his mouth, and he shows us that they are from him. They're not from our idols, they're not from our imagination. Everyone knows. Romans 2:14 to 16 shows us. It says, for when Gentiles do not have the law, when they do instinctively things of the law, these not having the law, they are a law to themselves. And that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men, Christ Jesus. You listen to this proof this morning, these things from Scripture, and you say, well, I still don't believe that, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You don't believe the Scripture? God says he's gone even a step further. He's written it on your heart. Ultimately, everyone knows what's right. And that's proof that you know there is the Creator. And the Bible also says, because this is written on your heart, you have no excuse. Romans 1:18-20 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse.
Thank you.
虽是人不能见，但是所造之物就可以晓得，叫无可推诿。
One day when we go, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of excuses as to why they didn't believe in Christ. But none of those excuses will be worthy. I don't care what excuse you think you have. When God has written it on your heart, and you can see it in the things He's made, ultimately everyone knows. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. Lord, you take the extra step, Father. You go above and beyond in writing on our hearts and showing us your eternal power, that you are ruler of everything. Lord, we are without excuse, Father, I pray. Lord, even we are without excuse, those who believe in you, to go tell others about you, Father. If we truly believe in you, how can we sit idly by and not tell others that they are headed to an eternal hell, Father? Lord, I pray we would have enough faith to get up and to proclaim that this Christ who came on Christmas is the ultimate reason for life. Lord, that He came because we are sinners and that we need Him and we need to follow and obey and love Him as a proof of our faith in Him, Lord. Lord, we thank You for calling us unto You, for drawing us unto You, and Lord, we thank You for saving us, for giving us the faith necessary to believe in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. As the band comes forward, lead us in one final song. Let's just go to another moment of personal prayer and searching your heart, searching where you are in your walk with Christ.